Welcome to the White Spring Bunker. These halls were built to safeguard some of the most prestigious members of the United States government. Now we are all that remains, though we are always looking for men and women capable of helping us restore what has been lost. In return, we offer this, our refuge from the world above. Please, take your time and look around. We've made great efforts to restore this place to its former glory. Welcome, member, to our little enclave.
Welcome back, members. As always, I am the operative, your designated tour guide and host here at the White Spring. The bunker is eerily quiet. Most of the men and women of the new enclave have marched south, part of Operation Beowulf, our best hope to defeat the Scorched once and for all. For those of us who remain, we wait with nervous anticipation for word of the battle. Team Omega is just outside of Silo Charlie, and the Colonel and Task Force Jaeger are dug in around Dropside V9, within sight of their target. All eyes now turn to the broken and ruptured Earth aptly named Fisher Site Prime. In just a few hours, the future of Appalachia will be decided.
Was this place a dairy or something?
A processing plant. Terminal entries talk about them building a silo right under this place. Real hush-hush, obviously.
Obviously. So now what?
See that elevator down there? That leads right down to the residential section. My handprint is already in the system. Don't ask, fellas. And then we have to get through the biometric security.
You wouldn't be in that system too, would you?
Well, I might have tried before, but no luck. That's why Charmer is here. He's been studying the security system since the briefing, right?
Yeah, Modus provided the schematics and some potential workarounds. Basically, once we get down there, everyone look for these weird-looking blue cards.
Great. Well, I guess I'd rather go hunting around an old silo than be out there when the nukes go off.
Speak for yourself. You know the epic stories the other guys are going to tell when they kill that big queen thing? How am I going to compare to that?
Mac, I'm sure you'll think of something to turn those nurses' heads. Am I right?
Enough chatter, people. It's time. Double-check your weapons. And like I said before, as soon as we hit the lobby, expect security to be extremely unfriendly. I've got the card and codes, but if anything happens to me or any of us, the next one in line picks it up and goes on. Got it? D, I want you to watch our backs. Everyone else, stay close. No telling what else we're going to find down there.
Yes, sir.
Team Omega crowded into the silo elevator, and as the doors closed, they disappeared into the bowels of the Earth. Far above Appalachia, the Kovac Muldoon satellite continued its lonely vigil. New orders from MODIS have been received, and a set of cameras were aimed at a spot in the southeast corner of the region, named by the former inhabitants as the Cranberry Bog. Just north of the smoke-spewing raked earth they called the Fissures, sat a single concrete structure, half buried in the earth. Pre-war records designated this location as Dropsite V9, an old testing facility owned by the AMS Mining Corporation. As the cameras zoomed in, they recorded not an abandoned structure, but one now ringed by sandbags, concertina wire, and other barricades, manned by one of the largest groups of people the instruments had recorded in quite some time. It was this activity that MODIS was now interested in viewing in real time. Very soon, the AI would see if his investment and tolerance of these new members would be rewarded, and that the threat of the Scorch reduced to a manageable level, to allow his other plans to reach fruition. Colonel Valeria had proven to be extremely proficient to date, with Captain Stein acting as a useful messenger when required.
If the Colonel's plan is unsuccessful, the loss of assets would be regrettable. However, we have contingency plans, and these assets are not irreplaceable.
Colonel Valerius stepped through the doorway of the concrete bunker just as the first rays of sun were peeking over the horizon. All around her, the men and women of Task Force Jaeger had been busy finishing the preparation for Operation Beowulf.
Captain! Captain!
The captain was nowhere to be seen, so the colonel turned to Corporal Cindy, who was unloading ammunition crates from a nearby Brahmin.
Corporal, where's Captain Stein?
Ma'am? I'm pretty sure he went that way. I thought I heard him say something about Major Lilith.
Cindy pointed to the west, in the direction of an old barn.
Wonderful.
Valeria marched off after the captain, while the work around her continued. Captain Stein was currently standing in front of and staring up at an old abandoned heavy tank buried in the soft earth.
Lilith, get out of the tank.
No.
Lilith, get out of the tank now.
You're not my dad.
Lilith, get out of the damn tank. I am your dad. Maybe not technically speaking, but just get out of the damn tank.
I'm in a tank, and you're not.
Oh, Lilith, I swear I will call the colonel over here. I can't believe this. Biggest mission of our lives, and now I gotta deal with the damn child, I swear.
The colonel could see the captain storming back in her direction.
Colonel!
Just where have you been?
I can't believe I'm saying this, but can you please, please, tell Lilith to get out of the damn tank?
Lilith is where? I only told her to check the old wrecks for ordnance we could use.
Lilith is refusing to get out. She's found an old combat helmet, and she's been barking orders from the turret of that old rust bucket of a coffin.
Captain, we're in the middle of the cranberry bog, getting ready to do battle with a giant mutated bat. I don't have time for this.
Colonel, please. You're the only one she's going to listen to.
Ugh. Okay, fine. Get back to V9 and oversee the final preparations. We don't have much time before this kicks off. The countdown in the silo has already started.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you, ma'am.
Lilith! Lilith!
What?
Really, Lilith? This tank hasn't moved in 25 years. What do you think you're doing?
I'm bored.
Well, in about 2 hours, you certainly won't be. Now get out of that vehicle and get back to V9.
But Val...
I don't want to hear it, Lil. You have 5 minutes. That's an order.
Oh, poo. Fine.
Captain, she's back.
Thank you, Thomas. Get to your team. Make sure they're ready.
Corporal. Captain.
Colonel. Just in time. I have Shadow on the comm.
Good. Let me speak to him. Lieutenant, what's your status?
Ma'am, we're working our way towards the command center. Marshall got us through the biometric scanner, but we still have a long way to go. Red counters are spiking too. Might be some kind of reactor leak down here.
Shadow, the layout of Charlie should be almost identical to Alpha. You have 90 minutes to launch that missile.
Yes, ma'am. We're still on schedule. We'll report back as soon as we reach command. Out.
Sounds like they're cutting it close.
As long as they finish the mission, that's all that matters.
And after that?
We'll be a little busy, Captain. They're on their own until this is over.
This the ends justify the means again?
Enough, Captain. They knew what they signed up for. Get the team leads in here. We have time for one last brief.
Aye, aye, Colonel.
Really, Stein?
The captain just smiled as he went outside. He quickly whistled the new Enclave team leaders in, Sergeant Muller included, as they joined the colonel around a small table set up in the rear of the bunker.
I know we've been over this before, but now that we're here, I want to make sure everyone is prepared. As you know, in approximately 85 minutes, Team Omega will be launching from Silo Charlie. The impact site is going to be just south of the main fissure site identified here.
The colonel pointed to a large red gash on the map laid out on the table.
Our positions are all outside of the blast zone, but you and your men have all been issued hazmat suits and will be undercover during the actual detonation. The nuke should drive the Scorch Beast Queen to the surface, and it will be up to Teams Charlie and India to get her attention with long-range heavy weapons fire. While we don't know how large she is, we believe she's big, a lot bigger and nastier than the regular Scorch Beast we've fought in the past. That's why we've issued you a portion of the new Ultrasight ammunition we were able to produce. There isn't enough for everyone, and the quantities we do have are limited, but testing has shown they do significantly more damage to scorched creatures than conventional ammunition. Once the Queen arrives, all teams will concentrate their fire on her. We want to drive her to the ground, where Muller's team and our bots will engage at close range. The rest of us will provide fire support only. Any questions?
It was Captain Thompson from Team Gamma that spoke first.
Ma'am, what about the other scorched creatures?
We expect there may be some scorched beasts still in the area, but probably not many. As for scorched, we only found a handful here when we secured V9. If there are any around, the nuke should kill most, if not all of them.
The team captains looked at one another. Sure, they hadn't stumbled across any large nests of the creatures, at least not since they cleared out the Big Bend Tunnel on their way here. But this was in the belly of the beast.
Just be prepared, folks. No plan survives first contact, but we have contingencies, which you've all read up on.
Thank you, Captain. And yes, stay alert, people. Now, get back to your teams and get ready. Dismissed.
The Colonel watched them file out, then turned back to the map, trying to think of anything she might have missed or any last-minute change in dispositions of her men that might help.
Staring at it isn't going to change anything. The plan is solid and the men know what they're doing. I mean, sure, this ain't the 101st, but they'll do just fine. America's best and brightest and all that.
I appreciate the optimism, Captain. Let's do one last walk of the perimeter, shall we?
Yes, ma'am.
Once upon a time, 27 years after the bombs fell, there were two people, a vault dweller and a California girl. They met and sparks flew. That's when things got interesting. Once Upon a Wasteland is their story. Follow Elizabeth Kirby and Odessa Valdez as they pursue their happily ever after in the post-apocalyptic Appalachian wasteland of Fallout 76. Available on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and many other podcasting platforms. Once Upon a Wasteland, a Fallout 76 love story. Available now.
Stein followed the Colonel out into the morning air, closely followed by Corporal Cindy. The young woman was anxious and felt better in the Colonel's shadow, while Lilith did a little dance on top of the bunker, playing the old Brotherhood transmission on constant repeat. And no one was crazy enough to tell her to stop. The new Enclave teams were arrayed in a crescent around V9, with scouts as far out as the old AMS mining structures, although they'd be pulling back shortly to get under cover before the nuke. Muller's power armor team and their Black Devil armor would man the center of the crescent and be ready to react to wherever the Queen decided to land. The other teams, equipped with their standard scout armor, would have their personal weapons and at least one or two heavy weapons, a mixture of old world and new, 50 caliber machine guns, light machine guns, and both Gatling lasers and Gatling plasmas. Most of these would be fired from fixed positions, as they were only mobile when wielded by someone in power armor. The one exception to this, of course, was Major Lilith. She carried her own LMG, her preferred weapon of choice, and with her enhanced strength, she could wield it just like a rifle, and the recoil didn't bother her at all. When Valeria and the captain returned to the bunker, she received a final report from the scout team.
Colonel, fissure site still looks clear, though we do see small groups of Scorch wandering the area.
Good work, Jones. Now get back to cover. We're under 15 minutes to mark.
Valeria changed frequencies to contact Team Omega.
Omega, this is Command Actual. Come in and report launch status.
Colonel, Shadow here. Stirred up a real hornet's nest. Launch prep is a go, but we're trapped. Must have tripped some kind of enhanced security protocol.
You have 13 minutes. That missile needs to launch on schedule. Can you hold?
Ain't gonna be easy, Colonel. But yeah. Mac and D just managed to collapse the main entranceway on top of a couple of Assaultrons. We aren't getting back the way we came through.
Good. Report back with the final countdown. I suspect security might shut down once the launch is initiated, and then we can come and get you. Over and out.
They're cutting it close.
If anyone could get it done, it's Shadow. That man has a way of getting in and out of interesting places. I suspect they'll find a way out of this too, but let's cross that bridge when we come to it, shall we?
Ma'am, everyone is getting undercover. Should I close the bunker door?
Night Moreno. I guess no one. If any brothers pick this up, EL7 is gold. Repeat, EL7. We got no idea how many are in the cave.
Please tell Lilith to stop messing around and get down here.
Lilith didn't like it, of course, because she hadn't been this close to a nuke ever, and she wanted to see it. It wasn't until Valeria stuck her head out and yelled at Lilith at the top of her lungs that she reluctantly climbed down, but not before hitting the BOS transmission switch one more time.
Ugh! No more!
And the colonel pulled out her service pistol and shot a hole right through the main transmission circuit, silencing the annoying message forever, much to the relief of all present.
You never let me have any fun, Val.
I'm sure you'll have all the fun you can handle once the nuke drops. And if you behave, I'll let you take any souvenirs you want. Deal, Lil?
Oh, goody.
Shadows reporting in, Colonel.
Valeria walked over to the radio. At first, there was nothing but static. But then the lieutenant came through.
Command! Come in! Over!
This is Command Actual. Status. Over.
You'll get your damn nuke! But we're just about out of ammo here. The bots just don't stop. 30 seconds until launch. We're trapped. Better send someone to get us.
Good job, Lieutenant. Over and out.
The colonel switched over to the general frequency and then keyed the mic.
Team leads, launch imminent. Everyone behind cover and recheck those hazmat suits. Good luck.
All around V9, new Enclave soldiers huddled behind their barricades or took shelter in their power armor. In the bunker, Valeria calmly took a seat and put her rifle on the table, rechecking the action one last time. Lilith was pacing back and forth like a caged lion, while Stein tried to not look worried. A few seconds later, miles to the west, the cover on Silo Charlie opened, and with a roar, a nuclear missile burst forth into the Appalachian sky. Far below, Team Omega felt the rumble of the launch, and all the lights in the silo went out at once, leaving them alone in the dark. As the first stage burned out and fell away, the second stage fired, and brought the warhead to the edge of the stratosphere before arcing back down towards its target far below. Those soldiers which did look up could see the vapor trail as the final stage descended. Dust fell from the ceiling. The roar outside sounded like a freight train rolling right up to the bunker entrance. Stein noticed the colonel was gripping the sides of the small table, her knuckles white, even while she maintained a look of calm on her face. Lilith was still pacing, while Cindy looked up at the ceiling, horrified. Outside, the mushroom cloud climbed into the sky. The nearby Sundew Grove was set ablaze by the blast. As the tempest subsided, the soldiers of the new Enclave waited for the all-clear to be sounded.
Stein, radio.
Here you go, Colonel.
All teams, this is Command Actual. Report!
Each of the team leads checked in. Although the explosion rocked the entire area, the barricades withstood the blast, and there were no losses among the men. The entire site to the south was obscured by the mushroom cloud, but the winds worked in their favor, pushing the radioactivity to the west, away from them.
All right, get ready. I suspect we'll have a visitor shortly.
All along the perimeter of V9, the teams removed their hazmat suits and readied their weapons, while the Assaultrons fanned out to achieve better firing positions, following their instructions from MODIS. Muller signaled his men and the suits of power armor moved forward. Anyone looking at them, with their shattered paint and devil-shaped heads, could not help but be impressed. Stein climbed into his own XO-1 armor, heavily modified by Muller himself, and grabbed a 50-caliber machine gun, pointing it towards the radioactive cloud. As the echoes of the explosion faded, the men all looked to the sky. At the same time, they felt a rumble beneath their feet, like the ground was shifting again. It was Corporal Thomas, manning an LMG along the left side of the line, who spotted something first. He called into the command bunker.
Colonel, we have movement at the fissure site.
Valeria picked up her rifle, and she and the rest of her team filed out of the bunker. What had been a dull roar was replaced by the cacophony of sounds as the vultures-turned soldiers looked up to the sky and saw the large mushroom cloud settling over the area. To their south, where once there had been a sunny plain broken open by the fissures, now there was nothing but towering clouds of smoky debris, framed by flashes of lightning. Above the din, the flapping of wings could be heard. From somewhere in the nuked area, the eddies and swirls of smoke were disturbed by the passing of something massive. While they couldn't see it, they could feel it. A sinister presence, a black shape against a blackened sky. A shriek echoed across the landscape and was echoed by a dozen more. There was a flash of lightning, and the massive shape of the Scorch Beast Queen broke through the clouds. Valeria unconsciously took a step back. The monster dwarfed even her worst fears. As it hovered in the air, it swept its head from left to right, appearing to take in the force arrayed against her. As 100 guns turned skyward, the massive Scorch Beast Queen let out a shriek across the battlefield. But instead of attacking, it turned aside and flew back into the nuke zone.
What's she playing at?
Maybe she's just shy?
The assembled host could only watch as the Scorch Beast Queen flew just out of range. A few missiles were fired in her direction, but the projectiles were too slow to catch her at such an extreme range.
Boring!
Colonel, I have a bad feeling about this.
I agree, Sergeant. Keep your eyes open. Pass the word.
The Queen reappeared, and there was a crash of lightning behind her, and another rumble as the ground quaked again. As a few lines of machine gun fire reached up towards her, she let out an awful shriek. This sounded different, deeper, stronger. Suddenly, the clouds behind the Queen erupted as more than 2 dozen Scorch Beasts flew past her and dived towards the Colonel's men, each one letting loose with their sonic screams, driving men to their knees even as the others fired back. Missiles, plasma, and laser blasts, along with heavy projectiles, rose to meet them. Before the Colonel could react to this new threat, there was a panic call over the command circuit.
Colonel! My God! 100! Maybe 1,000!
The line went dead, and their huge collective roar rocked them all. The Scorch Beasts had called in their thralls, creatures large and small, who had survived the blast underground in the nests, and they advanced as a giant wave out of the nuke zone. The new Enclave scouts never stood a chance. The full weight of the horde rolled over them before they could even fire a shot. The Queen just hovered and watched through the eyes of her minions as they stormed forward. These interlopers would be dealt with, as they had dealt with all of those before.
Muller, concentrate on the ground creatures. Don't let them pass the barricades. Modus, have the Assaultron support Muller and take out any stragglers.
Immediately, the Black Devils switched their fire from the Scorch Beast to chewing large holes in the advancing horde with their Gatling lasers and plasmas, while Assaultrons moved to add their head-mounted lasers to the carnage.
Stein, everyone else concentrates on the Scorch Beasts and the Queen. We have to disrupt their network and bring her down.
Stein and his old XO-1 relayed the orders, and the heavy weapons teams unleashed their fury on the armada overhead. The sky was filled with fire and screaming beasts as they dove in at their targets, were hit, staggered, and flew back again. These men and women, who only a year before had taken their first steps out of Vault 76, were now in the fight of their lives. To their credit, not a single soul ran. Lilith cackled with delight, firing her LMG into a descending Scorch Beast, ripping its wings to shreds. It crashed to earth, crushing an Assaultron under the weight of its body. Far from dead and screaming in pain, it rose to its feet and screamed again. Both Cindy and Valeria shouldered their rifles and emptied their magazines into the creature's head, watching as the beast finally keeled over and died. Muller and his power armor team waded into the scorched creatures as they tried to overrun the barricades. When they were too close to use their heavy weapons, the Black Devils used their armor as battering rams, melee weapons to tear the scorched limb from limb. As V9 became the center of the maelstrom, the Colonel directed her heavy weapons teams to new targets, while Lilith performed her own dance of death, screaming a war cry as she jumped in the middle of a group of scorched anglers, shooting and slicing as she dodged their talons. Valeria was losing men, killed or badly injured as the battle continued. Muller watched Corporal Pauls fall into the avalanche of scorched Mirelurks, using their claws to find the seams in his armor. His scream was cut short as Muller turned his Gatling plasma on the creatures, but it was already too late. Captain Thompson, watching half his team fall to a pack of scorched wolves, emptied his magazine into the Alpha before one of the other creatures lunged at him, tearing right through his leg armor and crushing his thigh between its teeth. Even as he screamed in pain, Thompson grabbed his combat knife and plunged it through the Scorched Wolf's eye, killing it. One of his operatives dragged him out of the line of fire and applied a makeshift tourniquet as Team Sigma filled in the gap in the line.
Colonel, there's just too many, and they're overrunning the position. We can't even get good shots in on the Queen.
Between his remaining men and the Assaultrons, Muller was barely holding on. Creatures were beginning to filter around the sides and towards the rear, but there was little he could do, with so many of them to his front. The Colonel could see her position unraveling. There were just too many creatures and too few weapons concentrating on the Queen. She had too few reserves. Only a single team held back manning the heavy guns towards the rear of B-9. It wasn't going to be enough, but she still had cards to play. Valeria fired to her left and right, and then yelled at Stein.
Stein, get me Modus!
The captain grabbed the communications link and handed it to the Colonel. A Scorch Beast swooped down, pelting the top of the bunker with its sonic blast as she ducked to avoid its claws. Valeria stood back up and scowled before clicking the microphone.
Modus!
Yes, Colonel. What is your status?
No time for that. Initiate nailing 3, now. Target the edge of the nuke zone to our current position.
Colonel, our calculations have a margin of error.
Just do it, Modus. That's an order.
Yes, Colonel. We suggest you find shelter immediately.
The Colonel went back on the command circuit.
All teams, orbital strike inbound. It's going to be danger close. Take cover.
Within a few moments, the sound of rolling thunder was audible. This particular contingency plan was nearly their worst-case scenario, but she had no choice. Even above the shrieks of the Scorch Beast, the incoming orbital strike cut through the air. Modus had carefully calculated the drop, but with the interference of the nuke and the atmospheric discharge, he was correct that there was a significant margin of error, at least by his own standards. The entire area from the edge of the nuke zone to nearly on top of V9 was torn apart by volley after volley of projectiles dropped from the orbital platform. Scorch Beasts were speared in the air, blown apart, or hurtled to the ground, while the Scorched Horde was shredded by the massive explosives, tearing their ranks to pieces and sending bodies flying as far as half a mile away. Valeria's teams tried to find cover where they could, behind barricades in the shallow trenches that lined the bog, or even under the bodies of the dead. While it saved most of them, others, both friend and foe locked in close combat, found themselves in the blast radius. Lilith was blown against one of the barricades, but besides the ringing in her ears, she was unhurt. Giggling, she reloaded her LMG and charged back into the smoke, looking for something else to kill. Steadying herself against the rolling earth and explosions, Valeria tried to gauge the results of the strikes. She knew she lost men. Comm channels were cut in mid-sentence, only to be replaced by the screams, audible above the din of battle. But failure here was not an option, and worth any sacrifice. She turned her attention to the Queen, who was still hovering in the air, but appeared to both be hurt and incredibly agitated. It let loose another series of shrieks, and was soon joined by 3 uninjured Scorch Beasts, fresh to the fight. In tight formation, they swooped down, landing in the middle of the new enclave defenses. Cindy was firing into the air when a wounded Scorch Yagwai lunged out of the smoke at her. She tried to sidestep, but caught the beast in the chest. Luckily, her scout armor absorbed most of the blow, but she heard and felt the cracking of several ribs. As she tried to rise, the infected bear turned again and charged, only to be cut down by the rapid fire of an LMG. Lilith ran forward and climbed on top of the corpse, firing into the smoke before jumping down and disappearing into the chaos. Cindy felt a set of hands on her shoulder, pulling her backwards towards the bunker. It was Corporal Jones, nursing wounds of his own, trying to get her out of the line of fire. Stein leapt in front of them, and it was a gravely wounded Scorch Megasloth nearly trampled the 2 wounded operatives. He fired into its face, finally killing the creature as it keeled over to the ground.
You 2 okay?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now get behind some cover. The fight's not over yet.
The wind picked up again, and the smoke began to clear, revealing the desperate fight. While the strikes had killed many of the creatures, all semblance of a defense had collapsed as the teams found themselves surrounded by the survivors of the Scorched Horde. Valeria scrambled to the top of the bunker, where Team Kappa had set up their heavy weapons emplacement. Only 2 of the team were still alive, but they continued to direct their fire into the Scorched. The Queen and her Scorch Beasts were advancing together, all wounded but deadly with their wings and claws, tearing troops apart and stomping on bots as they pushed forward. Valeria knew this was her last chance. They had to kill the Queen now, while she was on the ground and relatively vulnerable.
All teams, concentrate your fire on the Queen!
Stein, after making sure that Cindy and Jones were under cover, found himself together with Muller, Lilith, and Thomas, all standing right in the path of the Queen as it roared and advanced upon them, crashing through the wire and barricades, bodily throwing both men and weapons aside or crushing them underfoot. The Queen sought to rid itself of these annoyances. even as the monster broke through the final defenses in front of the bunker. Weapons fire from both the left and right increased. Far from broken, the soldiers of the new enclave rose from cover, battling back against the remains of the horde. At the colonel's command, the teams regrouped and pushed back against the creatures and targeted the queen. The scorch beasts were bracketed by heavy fire, though they continued to lash out. First one, then two, then finally all three scorch beasts flanking the queen were killed, collapsing in heaps on the ground. The queen's wings were shredded and torn. A missile impacted on her rear leg, breaking the bone there and slowing her gait. The colonel directed more fire upon the huge creature. As the battle reached its crescendo, Lilith charged forward and slid between the queen's legs, pointing her LMG directly into its belly, pulling the trigger, ripping a ragged line through whatever internal organs lay in the path of her bullets. The colonel fired into its face, while the survivors poured fire into the queen from head to tail. With one final scream, Lilith fell forward, nearly crushing Lilith under her broken body, but she rolled out of the way at the last second. With the sudden death of the one controlling element of the hive mind, the remaining creatures frenzied and began attacking everything in sight. The survivors had no time to savor their victory as V9 was again washed and scorched, but leaderless and without direction. Valeria slapped a fresh magazine into her rifle and fired down on the remaining scorched, while Muller and Stein used their power armor's battering rams to clear out the larger creatures. More wounded, more dead. As they cleared out the remaining infected from around V9, it was only then that Valeria could get a sense of the carnage around them. From the edge of the nuke zone to V9 was a veritable carpet of dead scorched. In and around the craters left by the orbital strikes, the broken bodies lay twisted or blown to pieces. The dead scorched beasts, who once ruled the skies above Appalachia, were now nothing more than corpses littering the ground of the Cranberry Bog. Amongst them, however, also lay the dead of the new enclave. No team escaped unscathed. And as the colonel climbed down from a perch atop V9, she could see the survivors rushing from position to position to check to see who was still alive and to tend to the wounded. Lilith, covered in scorched beast guts and blood, was busy too, going from creature to creature, cutting off choice bits and either stuffing them in her pack or worse, her mouth. As some semblance of calm returned to the area, the colonel directed the few remaining assaultrons to patrol the old perimeter, just in case there were any surviving creatures left out there. The front of V9 had been turned into a makeshift field hospital, in the very shadow of the dead Scorch Beast Queen, and behind the bunker, the dead had been laid out and covered under surplus tarps. Stein and Muller directed the recovery efforts, while the colonel walked amongst the wounded, offering words of encouragement and thanks. She found Corporal Cindy being treated by one of the medics.
Are you okay, Corporal?
Cindy turned and grimaced before giving a pained salute.
I'm okay, ma'am. One of those Yaogwai things charged at me. I guess I should have stepped right instead of left. Lucky for me, it's only a couple broken ribs.
Valeria reached out and put her hand on Cindy's shoulder.
You did well.
Thank you, ma'am.
Nodding, Valeria turned and walked back to the bunker to receive the latest reports from her remaining team leaders and report back to Modus. After an hour, Stein walked into the bunker to find the colonel sitting in a chair, hands on her head as she looked over the list of casualties.
Nothing except a battle lost can be half so terrible as a battle won.
What was that, Colonel?
An old saying, Stein. A very old saying. Something my father told me back in the vault. I really didn't understand it then. I think I do now. How bad is it?
Half, Colonel.
Half?
We have a lot of wounded, too. And the medics... Well, you know how it goes. They're doing what they can.
What have I done?
Don't think like that. You have to remember, we did it. You did it. The Queen is dead.
They were my people, Captain.
Valeria, we all knew the score. And like you said, like we all said, it was them or us.
I know. But it's still my responsibility.
What are your orders, Colonel?
Organize a burial detail. Collect their pit boys. We'll need them back at the White Spring. I want to be back at Big Bend by nightfall. Tomorrow, we'll send a team to check on Omega.
Stein was just about to say something, but then decided against it. He saluted and left the bunker to pass the word, while the Colonel reviewed the list of the dead. In the mid-afternoon sun, Valeria, Stein, Muller and Lilith stood side by side behind V9 as the final bodies were laid to rest. Corporals Thomas and Jones had scavenged enough metal and wood from the area to erect crude crosses, one for each of the makeshift graves.
Muller, raise the flag.
Yes, ma'am.
Sergeant Muller reached down to grab the flagpole the colonel had brought from the White Spring. She had originally intended it to be flown in honor of their great victory, but now it was to commemorate their dead and to honor their sacrifice. As Muller raised the flag it unfurled in the early afternoon breeze, Valeria's design was revealed. Representing both a break and an homage to the past, the flag still had the white enclave E in the middle, but it sat on a large midnight blue star, surrounded by the stars of the American Commonwealth, also representing the new enclave teams who fought here, resting on an image of the vault. To Valeria, this symbol of her new enclave spoke to both their history and their future. While they all may have come from Vault 76, today their identity had been forged in the fire of V9 and the Battle of the Bog. The assembled group saluted the flag as it fluttered above them before heading back around the bunker. Corporal Thomas was waiting for them with the assembled company. The much-reduced team stood at parade rest.
Attention!
Despite their wounds, each and every soldier snapped to attention and turned their eyes to their colonel and saluted. Valeria blinked away a tear, then returned the collective salute with one of her own.
Ma'am, the Brahmin have been loaded and the men are ready to move out.
Thank you, Thomas.
Valeria then turned and addressed Task Force Jaeger as a whole.
Today, humanity won, but not without cost. My father once told me, there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for their friends. Our fallen were our brothers, our sisters, our family. They will be remembered. Appalachia will remember their sacrifice. We will rebuild. We will face the new challenges that await us. I am proud of you all. Now, let's go home.
There was a subdued cheer as the colonel gave them all the final salute. With Valerian Stein at the head of the column, Task Force Jaeger marched away from the battlefield of V9, leaving their flag flying high, rippling in the breeze. From out of the field of dead creatures, Lilith came bounding up to Valeria, carrying an enormous talon over her shoulder.
Lil, what the heck is that?
No way I wasn't grabbing a souvenir. I bet I can make a wicked blade out of this back at the bunker.
I knew it was too good to be true. I figured the Major would take a toy or two back.
At the rear of the column, Muller took one last look back as the wind finally blew away the last of the radioactive cloud from above what had been Fisherside Prime. The burned and charred landscape was far too familiar to him after nearly 35 years. He just shook his head and got back into formation.
War. War never changes.
An acrid wind swept across the remains of battle around what had been Dropsite V9 as the sun began to set over the Appalachian Hills. Irradiated vegetation glowed in the dying light, surrounded by the corpses of innumerable scorched creatures and the hulking mass that had once been the Scorch Beast Queen. The solitary flag, left over the burial mounds of the dead, still fluttered in the wind of the early evening. The only other evidence of the battle's victors were three suits of power armor, broken and unsalvageable, destroyed assaultrons, and shell casings and depleted fusion cores littering the ground. The hissing and popping of Fisherside Prime, now only a rubble-filled scar to the south, was barely audible now, the caverns below having been collapsed by the nuclear detonation and orbital strikes launched by the Kovac to cover the retreat of the new enclave. The silence of the battlefield was broken by the sounds of movement. A small group of figures, clad in shattered gray armor, rose from the tall grass. The leader, his face concealed behind a black mask, surveyed the area using built-in magnification gear. He motioned for the others to fan out to cover the perimeter while he walked towards the corpse of the Scorch Beast Queen. Placing his hand against the broken body, He pulled out a large syringe from his pack and stabbed it through the tough hide, filling 5 large glass vials with blood and fluids. Placing the vials and syringe back in his pack, the leader opened up his Mark IV Pip-Boy and keyed the radio circuit.
This is Gray 5. Mission accomplished. Samples obtained.
Excellent work, Captain. Any other signs of activity?
None. The others all headed west. Expect they will make the Big Bend Tunnel sometime tonight. Gray 7 is monitoring their progress.
Nice of them to do our job for us. This makes Phase 2 that much easier.
By the looks of it, those Vault kids did some fine work, despite the losses. A shame they aren't on our side.
Give it time, Captain. Do one more sweep, and then cover your tracks. We'll expect you back at base tomorrow. The Eggheads are anxious to get those samples.
Yes, sir. Over and out.
The shadowed figures swept across V9, collecting samples from the dead scorched bodies. After a few more minutes, they disappeared back into the tall grass, like they'd never existed. Far above, the sensors of the Kovac noted the activity, and recorded the data into a secure repository marked Bastion. The Scorch Beast Queen lies dead, and for today Appalachia has been saved. But the secrets buried in the hills begin to surface, and nothing is what it seems.
It doesn't.
Hi, I'm Fire Rider, and I'm the host of The Pixel People, a podcast dedicated to taking a close look at our favorite characters from our favorite video games. From major characters who define the course of a game's storyline, to smaller characters who you might have never noticed. Every week, we go beyond the quest line to examine a particular character's story arc and choices, and discover the real-world parallels and life lessons hidden just below the surface. I hope you'll join us. You can find The Pixel People on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere else you listen to podcasts.
Thank you again, members, for joining us here on The Modus Files. Over a year ago, we started our journey, and as we end our first season, we couldn't have done it without the support of our amazing cast, this wonderful community, our subscribers, and all of our supporters. If you've enjoyed this content, please subscribe, and better yet, please leave a review to help others find our little enclave. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Modus Files, for more information about the podcast, Fallout 76 content, and random musings on the enclave. I'd also like to thank our cast, Pandora Beatrix as Lieutenant Colonel Valeria, XO1 King as Captain Stein, Scald as Major Lilith, Maria Cheshire as Corporal Cindy, Aaron Foster as Corporal Thomas and Marshall, Austin Rogers as Corporal Jones, Daniel Hawthorne as Lieutenant Shadow, Wasteland Man as Charmer, Cool Mentions as Mac, Dr. Mark Hosworth as Captain Thompson and Unknown Operative, Fenwa Tarion as the Unknown Leader, Ping Steel as the Unknown Commander, and Brad Williams as the voice of Modus and Sergeant Muller. We'd also like to thank Mary Marie B. for all of her hard work and dedication this season, including the building and maintaining of our website, contributing amazing artwork, and as our original Colonel Valeria. She is a very important member of the Modus Files family, and we look forward to her continued work in the future. And a shout-out to the Apocalyptic Aristocracy Discord, home to a great group of fellow creators, the Robots Radio podcast community, and the rest of the Robots Radio Rocket Club, and Jeremiah Johnson, our favorite character artist who provided the wonderful character artwork you can find on our website. Stay tuned for Season 2 of The Modus Files, coming in early 2022. Lastly, thank you again to all of our subscribers and supporters. God bless the Enclave, God bless America, and happy holidays to all.
Members, we look forward to your next visit to our little Enclave.